today is National Blood Donation Day, and I guess a time really to celebrate and encourage blood donation, and also celebrate the unsung heroes who deliver blood across our county. Blood Bikers began here in Surrey in the 60s, and today provides a valuable resource, saving time and money for our NHS. Well, Michael Nave from Surrey and South London Blood Bikers is on the line now. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, John.
Good morning. Welcome to the programme. And as we said, Michael, Blood Bikers been running since the early 60s, actually started here in Surrey.
Yes, that's right. And what has become SERV, Service by Emergency Rider Volunteers, started here in this county, and it's spread now to most of southern England. So there are branches in Kent, in Sussex, in Oxford, Berkshire, and Northamptonshire, North London, well, not so much North London, Essex. And then there are sister groups such as Emergency Free Wheelers, the Devon Free Wheelers, Severn Free Wheelers, East Midlands Emergency Volunteer Service, and right up to Scotland, and even in throughout Ireland, in both Republic and Northern Ireland.
So a big swathes of a country covered, and you and your Surrey group, I know you sort of you link up, you deliver blood to drop-off points, don't you? And
yes, we do. We cover all sorts of areas, much further than you'd think. A couple of years ago, we did a run to the Royal Devon and Exeter from Queen Charlotte's Hospital in London, and that's done by staging the runs. So the first run was from Queen Charlotte's to Guildford, then our colleagues in Wessex took it on from Guildford down onto Devizes, Devon Free Wheelers then picked it up, and eventually it reached the Royal Devon and Exeter. And similarly, we've done one recently from Chester to London.
So it's like a relay, isn't it, almost?
It is. It's exactly that. It's a sort of Pony Express relay. and we do that every night of the week, well, every night of the year, to Hooghly on the A23, where we meet up with the Kent and Sussex colleagues. We do a timed run that gets into Hooghly at 10:30 every single night.
Wow.
And that brings blood for down as far as Margate in Kent, down to Eastbourne for Sussex, down to Portsmouth. So we travel quite large distances, not all one rider the whole way, but by staging it.
This sounds like there's so much organisation and so much logistics that goes into this.
Yes, we every night we have a duty controller who's on from 7 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock the following morning. All the calls, whether it be from hospitals within our own area, Surrey and South London, but that also includes the Royal London and St Bartholomew's Hospital, although they're north of the river. The controller takes those calls and then allocates them to either a rider or driver, depending how many boxes of product are going to need to be transported.
And I suppose if there was an emergency situation, you could get the urgent call to get the blood to a hospital, more blood during the day, perhaps?
During the day, National Health Service blood and transplantation logistics do have an emergency service, and they have a fleet of vans and lorries that do the regular replenishment runs to hospitals all through the zone. And hospitals aren't allowed to use us for general stock replenishment. It's only for where they've got a particular patient that needs blood, plasma, platelets, samples, whatever it may be. So it's small quantities only, then they use us.
Okay, and by using you to do this, they are it's saving the NHS money, and it's sort of keeping some emergency vehicles potentially in service rather than if they're tied up doing that.
That's absolutely true, because to use an ambulance for that is a huge waste of resources that could be used in doing proper emergency support care, whereas we are able to put a rider onto the road very quickly. And even though we are not a blue light service, we don't carry blue lights, we're not allowed to, we can get through the traffic, mostly by motorbike, much more quickly than a van or a lorry can do. And all of our riders are trained, additionally qualified, either working towards something like AIM or ROSPA or one of the other advanced qualifications. Most of our riders also have attended courses on biker down and first bike on scene. So we're trained in first aid and in resuscitation techniques.
Yeah, I know there was a course recently at Guildford Fire Station.
There was,
wasn't there?
Guildford. Yeah, we have close relationships with the Surrey Fire Service and police, and with the Met as well. I mean, I did my own biker down course at West Norwood Fire Station, run by London Fire Brigade and the London Ambulance Service.
Okay, so how many, you are all volunteers, which is the amazing thing here. How many volunteers have you got within Surrey?
We're around 70 odd volunteers, and we're recruiting all the time, and people give their time and their fuel freely. And of course, when you're on duty usually once a fortnight. You could be called out at any time. Could be early in the evening, 7, 8 o'clock. It could be early in the morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock. So you can be called out at any time.
But, you know, when you say once a fortnight, that's not like a massive commitment sort of on the time. It's just sort of in one block once a fortnight.
Yes. There are some people who are particularly retired people who are able to volunteer more frequently than that and do. And what they do is vastly, vastly helpful. But the basic structure is that you do a duty once a fortnight.
And how did you get involved in the Blood Bikers yourself?
As a motorcyclist, I decided I'd do my advanced qualification and went to Way Valley Motorcycles, who meet at Ripley on a Sunday. And it was there that I saw a flyer from Serve Surrey in South London, and I thought that I'd like to do that, and that's how I came into it.
Okay, and how long have you been involved?
It must be getting on for about 7 years.
Oh, wow, that's an amazing commitment to do that as a volunteer. And I guess you get a great deal of pride out of what you do.
Yes, we do, and that's why we do it. For example, every single night of the year, we do the regular replenishment of the air ambulance. They have an airfield at Red Hill. Every night, we pick up two boxes from East Surrey Hospital. These are boxes that were developed by the Royal Army Medical Corps in Afghanistan. And they then are taken up to the airfield, and the used or unused boxes from the previous night are brought back. And that means that the aircraft or the land ambulance, whichever the HEMS staff take, carries blood with it. And they did last year 200 on-scene transfusions.
Oh, wow.
And they reckon to have had 50 what they call unexpected survivors. That is people who, whether they were flown or taken by land ambulance to a hospital without a transfusion, would have died. And of those, 50 people are walking around today alive because they had a transfusion at scene and have survived.
And I bet that makes you, you know, just makes it all worthwhile for you when you hear sort of stories like that. And you don't often get to hear sort of the day-to-day, you know, going out delivering the blood. You don't get to find out exactly how the blood's used, though, do you?
No, we don't, because although we are classed as NHS employees when we're on duty, and therefore we are bound by the same rules of patient confidentiality as doctors, nurses and hospital technician staff, we don't know anything about the particular patient for whom what we're carrying is destined. So we don't know, we can sometimes guess, when you get three calls in a night to the same hospital for batches of platelets, you know that that's because they've got a bleeder on the table. That's rather an unkind thing to say, but that's how they call it,
okay.
A bleeder on the table.
Right, okay,
where they've
there.
Got uncontrolled bleeding, yes, that cannot be stemmed, they infuse platelets. Then they find that hasn't worked, so they infuse more, and then they need more. And we have done those sort of runs where we've been, they're called class one runs,
yeah,
where they're very urgent. And so on one occasion, we did have a call from the husband of the patient the following morning, who said, she nearly died last night. It was only because she had three batches of platelets
Amazing.
Brought by your volunteers that she survived.
Wow. And you are a blood donor yourself, aren't
yes,
you,
I
Michael?
Am. Yes.
So it's blood donation day today. So, you know, talk me through the process, you know, of going and giving blood. What's it like?
It's terribly, terribly easy. As soon as you're 18 or over, you can donate. And you go to you have an appointment, usually. You turn up at the donation centre, and of course the nearest to us here in Woking is at the football club.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mobile transfusion centre that comes there. The NHS blood and transplantation staff are really helpful and friendly.
That's good to hear.
They take a very simple prick test on one fingertip to check that your blood has sufficient hemoglobin. That's iron deficiency mm-hmm. they're looking for. And for those, I suspect most of your listeners are too young to remember the Tony Hancock program where he'd given his finger prick test.
Yeah, I'm too.
That was it.
I'm too young to remember that, but I do actually. I have actually heard the sketch. Yes.
Yes.
I know the one you mean, blood donor.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so that's taken. It's totally painless. For those of us who are diabetic, it's something we do regularly anyway.
Mm.
Then you're taken to a bed, and then the cannula is inserted into your arm. It's a couple of seconds of discomfort. It's not painful. It's a couple of seconds of discomfort, no more. The cannula is then inserted into a vein, and the blood, you don't have to look. If you don't want to, you don't have to look.
I think I'd look the other way, actually.
Exactly.
I'm honest.
And if you're not good with needles, you don't have to observe that at all.
Okay.
The blood is then taken into the special delivery pack. It's completely sealed, wholly safe. There's no question of anything being used on you that's been used on someone else. It's a completely virgin set of equipment, so there's absolutely no risks of cross-infection. You lie there, and you'd occasionally exercise your hand, make a fist, just to keep the blood flowing, and the little bleeper then says when the bag is full, and
then you get a cup of tea and a biscuit,
you
I
get
believe.
A cup of tea and a biscuit, exactly. And that's all there is to it. It's not painful, it's not frightening, it's perfectly safe. Indeed, my granddaughter came with me on one session, and I said, no, there's nothing to be afraid of. You know, you'll see it, you'll see the blood going into the bag. It's nothing to worry about. She said, yes, Grandpa, it's fine. It's not frightening at all.
She wasn't the one giving the blood, though. But so anyone between the ages of 17 and 65, I believe, can give blood. There are some exclusions, and we found one of our listeners said if you had a blood transfusion since 1980, you can't actually give blood.
Yes, that's right. There are a few exclusions, and if you have travelled extensively in certain parts of the world where things like West Nile fever are prevalent, they won't take your blood until you've been in this country or in Europe for a period of 6 months or nine months without showing any symptoms of illness.
Right, so, thank you. I think you've inspired a lot of us to give blood, thank you for that. And thank you for what you do as well. It's such a great service, and you're doing that as a volunteer. That is truly an amazing thing.
Yeah, and so when you see our guys on the road, we always wear uniform. It's a high-vis coat with a red yoke. And on our backs it says blood or emergency blood. If you're driving, just pull over, let us through. We're certainly not trying to hoon around the countryside, but let us through. It may be something we're carrying for a relative or a friend who's in need. So let us through so we can get to the hospital that little bit quicker.
Just a bit of courtesy from other road
courtesy
users.
Courtesy from other road users, yes.
So how do we find out? I mean, maybe some people are thinking, they have a motorbike and they think, oh, we can get involved with this. How do we find out more about the volunteer?
That's easy. Go onto our website, which is SERVSSL, Surrey and South London. You'll find that all the contact details are on the website, and if you are resident outside Surrey and South London, we can put you in touch with Wessex or Sussex or Kent or OBN, that's Ox, Barks, Bucks and Northamptonshire. So we can easily put you in touch with the area that you live in.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for talking to us on the programme this morning.
That's a pleasure, John, and I hope that was interesting, and I hope it's inspired a few people to either to join us or to give blood, or perhaps both.
I think it definitely has. Thank you, Michael.
Jolly good.
Bye.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.